Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, and I thank you for joining me today. We're going to be talking about the prophetic in today's lesson. And if you would, before you go to Jeremiah 20, we're going to start off in Joel, second chapter of Joel, briefly. And the Lord has released me to start giving dreams that he has given to me over the last few months and year. And I'm going to be releasing those to the body of Christ. I've already started releasing them on some prophetic websites that go out all over the country and all over the world. And so they're circulating already by the magic, I guess you would say, or by the technology of the internet. They're circulating all over the world to prepare us for the days ahead. And the reason that God gives dreams is so that we know the body of Christ as we prepare for the days ahead. We know that God is with us. We know that he is true to his word, true to his promise, and also to help us to prepare not only for self-preservation, not only that we can make decisions that will benefit us and our family and benefit our finances and our jobs, but also to prepare us for the end time harvest, because God's will is that none should perish. That's his primary will. And by bringing calamity or allowing calamity to come, or by making people uncomfortable, you might say, why God, his primary purpose is that people would come to know him. His primary purpose is that people would accept him. He says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward us, and that he desires all to come to know his repentance. And so God's will is that every single person come to know him, that every single person would not only have an opportunity to hear the word, an opportunity to know him through the word and through a relationship with him, but also just to accept him as their Lord and Savior, not just to know about him, but to know him and to accept him, to say in their heart, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so that's why God sends dreams and visions. That's why he sends prophecy. That's why he sends messengers with the prophetic word. And so as the end days draw near, the prophetic is being stirred up here in America and across the world. The prophetic is being stirred up because great changes are in store for what we consider to be business as usual. Great changes are in store for the status quo, or the things that we have become accustomed to the last 50 years here in America or so. The prosperity, the routines of everyone having a job and everyone having plenty of food to eat and lots of entertainment and lots of leisure. And so these routines are going to be broken up because God is shaking the heavens and the earth. And so as he shakes, why, those things that will not stand, those things that are not aligned with him, will be shaken out. Well, in Joel 2:28, God prophesied through the prophet Joel, and this was hundreds and hundreds of years, of course, before Jesus Christ stepped on the face of the earth. And God prophesied through the prophet Joel in verse 28. He said, it will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, or on all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on the male and female servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And so as the end days are here, and this event took place in the second chapter of Acts, 50 days after Jesus ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. The Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind. And Peter stood up there at the Pentecost meeting, and he told the people there what you see happening, these people speaking in tongues and acting as if they're drunk, or they appear as if they're drunk. What has happened is the Holy Spirit has been poured out, just as the prophet Joel prophesied hundreds of years ago. And so now we can expect to hear from God in ways that we have never heard from him before. And of course, Joel said that when the Spirit is poured out, that your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And so God speaks to us through dreams. He speaks to us through visions. He speaks to us, of course, through this written word in His holy word, and He speaks to us through fellowship of the saints as brothers speak truth into our lives. And so there are many ways that God communicates with His people, and if you're open to hearing from God, you will hear from Him. If you're seeking the Lord, you will hear from Him. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And so if you are listening for God's voice, you will hear from Him. If you are seeking and earnestly desiring to know God, you will hear from Him. If you're sitting in front of the TV 16 hours a day, all you're going to hear is chatter out of that chatterbox. And if you're listening to the radio and watching the internet 16 hours a day, you're not going to hear from God. You're going to just be hearing from whatever gibberish is coming out of those things. And I'm not to say that you can't use your computer to study God's Word. You can, and you can also watch good programs on TV that will bring the anointing into your life and bring blessings into your life. But if you're just watching worldly things, things that don't edify, things that don't build up the kingdom of God, well, you're not going to hear from God. And so if you desire to hear from God, you have to seek Him. Seek me first, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek me first in my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so whatever it is you desire for yourself, brother and sister, whatever it is that you desire for yourself, maybe you have a burden for your family, maybe you have a burden for your own life to be able to forgive or to have healing or to be restored from abuse or trauma or something that's happened in your life. Just seek the Lord. Just lay it out there at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to seek you, your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if you do that, God is faithful to His promise, and He will deliver you. He will give you the desires of your heart. He says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And so there's no other promise here on this earth that can compare with the way that God wants to pour out His blessing on you. He wants to give you the desires of your heart, but you have to delight yourself in the Lord. You have to take as much more delight in Him than you do any earthly thing. You have to take more delight in Him than you do even your own children and your own spouse or your own job or anything here that this earth provides for you, that even the blessings of the Lord here. You delight yourself in Him, in His presence, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And so as you delight yourself in the Lord will speak to you. He will pour out upon you dreams and visions. He will pour out upon you blessings, and they are blessings that are brought to you through spiritual avenues. God doesn't speak through the worldly things. Yes, He can. He can speak through any way that He wants. He even spoke to Balaam through a donkey. But, you know, primarily God has His avenues of communication, and they are spiritual avenues. They aren't the worldly avenues. And so as you seek the Lord, why, just be open to the fact that He will speak to you through His particular ways that He has outlined in His Word. Well, I'm going to look here at a scripture from Job. Before we go to Jeremiah, we're going to look through a scripture in Job. And it's Job 33:13. Why do you complain against Him that He does not give an account of all His doings? Talking about God. Why do you complain against God that He does not give an account of all His doings? Indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. Verse 15, in a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds, then He opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that He may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol. And so we learn from this passage that God seals men's instructions by dreams. In verse 16 it says He opens the ears of men and He seals their instructions to turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. And so we learn from that God opens the ears of men. He speaks to them. And you know, people say, well, dreams are just a bunch of psychobabble. They're just a bunch of really gibberish that doesn't make any sense. It's just a scrambled eggs in the night is what it is. And nothing could be farther than the truth. Yes, if you don't have any walk with the Lord, maybe your dreams are scrambled eggs in the night. But if you have a walk with the Lord, God is not going to waste that time. And I would dare say, brother and sister, even if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, God is not going to waste that time in your life. He will speak to you when your defenses are down. He will speak to you when you are asleep and when you are resting and when you don't have any conscious way to block his entry into your soul. And he will speak to you in ways that will instruct you, and he will speak to you in ways that will lead you down the path of righteousness and away from the conduct that leads you away from the Lord. I remember a story of a inmate in a prison got up and gave a testimony one night. And he was a drug runner from Mexico up into the central part of the United States, up to Kansas City. And his wife woke up in the middle of the night one night, and they were in Mexico. His wife woke up in the middle of the night one night and said, I just had a dream, and the Lord said, don't make this run to Kansas City. Don't make this run. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be calamity. And he begged his wife, one more time, one more run. I'll just make this one last run, and then I'll be done with it. I'll quit. I'll never again do this illegal drug running again. And so she consented and relented, and so he took off with this carload of drugs. And by the time he got to Kansas City, the authorities were on his tail, and they arrested him, and he got 10 years sentence in prison for being a drug runner. And had he listened to the revelation that his wife was trying to bring to him, if he'd have listened to the word of warning that God was trying to seal his instruction to keep him from his conduct, he would have saved himself and his family 10 years of great pain, 10 years of separation, 10 years of a loss of productivity in his life. And so many times God speaks to us in the night and tries to seal our instruction and tries to keep us away from conduct that leads us away from the kingdom of God. Well, in Jeremiah 20, Jeremiah has been given the mantle, the prophetic mantle, and of course he was one of the major prophets. We call him the major prophet of the Old Testament. And he was given a prophetic mantle, and it wasn't something that he chose as anyone chooses, in a sense, to be walking with the Lord. We all do. We either choose or not choose to walk with the Lord, but you know, in a way, we don't choose the callings that we have been given. The callings and the gifts that God gives us are irrevocable, and they are directly ordained by God. And so we don't know beforehand when God lays a mantle on us or sets an anointing on us. We don't know beforehand exactly what it's going to be. And this was Jeremiah's case here. And in verse 7 of Jeremiah 20, Jeremiah says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou hast overcome me and prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction, because for me the word of the Lord has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. But if I say, I will not remember God or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. For I have heard the whispering of many, terror on every side, denounce him, yes, denounce him. All my trusted friends watching for my fall say, perhaps he will be deceived so that we may prevail against him and take our refuge on him. Take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread champion. Therefore my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will be utterly ashamed because they have failed, with an everlasting disgrace that will not be forgotten. And so Jeremiah proclaims to the Lord. He's saying, Lord, I don't know how I got to be I don't know how I got this job, Lord, that you've chosen me for. I don't know how I got picked. He said, I'm a laughing stock all day long. I'm in derision. My friends make fun of me. They point the finger at me. They whisper about me. They say, boy, if you could just deceive him, that we could prevail against him and take our revenge on him. And they're waiting for my fall. And yet Jeremiah says, if I don't speak out, he said, verse 9, if I say I will not remember the Lord or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And so that's the true spirit and motive of a prophet, is that even though sometimes the prophet wants to go hide, even though sometimes the prophet wants to crawl into a cave and say, shut the door and turn the light out, and I don't want to have anything to do with bringing this message to the people, because they're going to accuse me of derision. They're going to accuse me of being a laughing stock. They're going to point the finger and whisper rumors about me. And yet Jeremiah said, if I don't speak it, this is just going to burn in my heart. If I don't speak it, it will erupt in me like a volcano, and it's got to come out. And so in obedience to his calling, in obedience to where the Lord wants him to go and to further the kingdom, the prophet has to speak, because it's not just for the prophet's benefit. It's not just so that he can fulfill his calling. It's not just so that he can walk in obedience to the Lord. But the prophet is used by the Lord as a messenger, to bring God's word to the body of Christ, as a messenger to bring God's word to those that need to know and be warned and given instruction. And so God has appointed the prophets, and he has appointed messengers to bring his word to the body of Christ. Well, Ephesians 4, Paul talks about this as he addresses the Ephesians. In 4, starting in verse 10, it says, he who ascended, he's talking about Jesus Christ, is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. And so God appoints the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers for the equipping of the saints. And what is the purpose of the equipping of the saints? It's to build up the body of Christ so that we may grow in maturity. He says in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. We are to become like Jesus Christ. And Paul says in Romans 8:29 that we were predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. God wants you, brother and sister, to be in the image. He wants you to grow into the image, to mature into the image of Jesus Christ, to mature into that image that God has for you, that he has pictured of you. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then God sees you just as he sees his Son, Jesus Christ, because you are no longer in the world. You are no longer governed by the world. You are governed by the Holy Spirit, and God has placed his Spirit within you. God has given you his Spirit as a down payment, as an inheritance, as a down payment on your inheritance for that which is yet to come, which is eternal life with the Lord and with Jesus Christ in heaven. And so we set the scene for the prophetic, that God has ordained the prophetic, that it exists because God declared it, that he decreed it, and because God wants to warn, he wants to give instruction, he wants to change the conduct of men. And so as we look around our nation today, and as we look around the world today, we know that God has a better plan for mankind than what we see unfolding here on the earth. We know that God has a better plan for his children than to be trapped in all kinds of sin and bondage and all kinds of addictions and sexual immorality and fornication and homosexuality and adultery. And God has a plan for this whole earth, and his plan is unfolding daily. As we watch the news, as we see the events of the Middle East and Israel and the nations lining up against Israel, we see God's plan unfolding in a way that cannot be denied. We see God's plan unfolding in a way that will not be deterred. And that doesn't mean that there's predestination, that we don't have a choice to turn away from sin. Yes, we do. In each and every step of the way, each and every day, we have a choice to align ourselves with the kingdom. We have our choice to align ourselves with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There's a line being drawn in the sand, and as the end days spiral to their completion, as the end days spiral to their fulfillment, that line in the sand will become more pronounced, and there will be no gray area. There is no gray area. Jesus said, you're either with me or you scatter. You either gather with me or you scatter, and so there is no gray area in between. And God is calling all of the children, all of his creation, to line up with him as the end days draw near. Well, I have a question for you out there, brother and sister. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know him beyond any shadow of a doubt that you know if today were to be your last day here on this earth, if today you were to meet some tragic fate or maybe just expire of natural causes, do you know if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? I invite you today to make that decision, to get down on your knees and say, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you are who you say you are. And if you make that decision today, let me know. Go to my website, let me know, or drop me a line, and God will bless you richly for it. And we just thank you for the opportunity we've had to speak this word into your life today. Well, didn't get to the dream today. We'll talk about it next week and the weeks thereafter. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.